are listening to a financial show.
That is not advice.
That's not advice. Not advice.
What's a rip?
A rip, commission. That's why we work here.
Any huge rips?
No, I don't. I still don't know how it works.
But you and me, the brokers, we're taking home cold hard cash via commission.
Right.
No matter whether our clients make money or lose money, Duke and Duke get the commissions.
The only thing we don't know is your fee.
My fee is the free market. But you're part of it.
Welcome back. This isn't advice, and I'm not an expert. I hope you had a great holiday season and a happy new year. This is a chapter in my open journal, reflecting the path I've taken and where I want to go in my financial education. I reached many goals in 2020, some financial, most outside of that focus. I find it tough to make definitive declarations for the new year, as COVID-19 doesn't respect calendars, and some people don't respect math. You are listening to This Is Not Advice, formerly known as Fees Always Win Investment Club. I am Chris. This is episode 58, and cash is king, but equity is invaluable. I've had a few losses this year, as previously discussed, which have become my greatest lessons. In a year like 2020, it's easy to celebrate wins as almost everything went up, even Kodak, Hertz, and Luby's. Only one of which just decided to close up shop because they were profitable but didn't want to become unprofitable. I have qualified some of my lessons as things I want to standardize and make a habit. Paradigms have certainly shifted. Some paradigms shifted due to the Fed printing so much money that titans who have made their fortune in waiting for undervalued distressed assets woke up one afternoon to find those assets with enough liquidity to fight takeovers. Other paradigms shifted due to the market hitting a point of excess saturation, with many people becoming traders due to a major barrier of entry decreasing, fees and commissions primarily. People have taken an active control of their investment journey and education by opening up a new brokerage account. While much of the media accuses the barrier change as a casual increase of fear of missing out and increase in you only live once trading, I swear, it's like the larger brokerages are just mad that they are losing a bit of control as it relates to market direction setting, and it's another case of the massive $32 trillion black pot calling the kettle black. As they have the most influence in the last couple of financial crises were the result of the major brokerages' recklessness. Along with the capitulation from these large brokerages that commissions and most of their fees were just made up to support their profit base, they justified it right until they suddenly made commission fees disappear. TD Ameritrade, Merrill Lynch, Charles Schwab now all have an online trading platform that allows users to trade without commissions or fees. This allows online investors to trade small profits instead of waiting for larger profits to justify the cost of trading out of a risk. This modification has led to an increased volume due to participation as well as more speculation, which has made some swing traders rich. For the most part, it's a strategy that takes more time than most people have, but a shift has occurred. In that shift, I realized I don't have the stomach for speculation or investing in something I don't know enough about. I also realized that with the paradigm shift, certain rules just don't matter. With enough volume, price versus earnings, debt ratio, profitability of a business model don't currently mean as much as they did, say, 30 years ago for now. If the market believes, then it is. But that doesn't mean I have to. That's a rule I'm creating for myself this year, and personal fear of missing out. I don't have to invest in what I don't believe in. It will mean I will absolutely miss out on opportunities, but it will also mean I have less regrets if I invest in something I don't believe in and lose money. I also want to standardize less speculation. I'm damn near 40. I don't have the appetite to speculate on stocks. I don't have the time to research a stock I saw trend on Twitter. In fact, it's probably already too late, and I would be investing at the peak of the volume pump. I'm okay with diversifying with known entities that have a good performance history and are a market leader. If you got Zoom shares in March 2020, you've been generously rewarded for your foresight. They have taken huge share of the teleconference market in less than a year. They didn't take that share from Google or Microsoft, which have both grown their market share, but were never dominant in the space to begin with. I still profit from a future trend with other market options. If I happen to miss one of those in the paradigm shift, seeing how Microsoft is giving away the work suite that includes Teams to corporations that will one day pay a subscription fee, I identify that as an opportunity. Makes me think Cisco's GoToWebinar have more to fear than Zoom does from the late adopters. This year, my wife and I are focusing on actualizing our active savings. I was raised to look for the best price prior to the purchase because everyone is raised that way. What did I do with the $100 saved on the washer or dryer set or the $20 saved on cooking what's in the fridge instead of ordering in food? My early 20s, that money was probably spent at the bar. In my early 30s, baby diapers. This year, I'm actively moving those savings to a brokerage account to invest. If we save and invest an extra $160 a month over 10 years in a market ETF, it'll be worth $29,000 on a $19,000 principal. Over 18-year period, it's worth $80,000 on a $34,000 principal investment. A penny saved is a penny earned with interest. This year, I'm also going to standardize being patient. I'm not a good day trader, as I previously mentioned. As it's not my career, and phone calls from work come first, my losses this year have taught me two specific things. Losses aren't realized unless you close your position. If you believe in the fundamentals of the company, then I'm only losing money by moving money. Paying taxes on investment and losses isn't just as simple as long-term and short-term capital gain calculations. The less referenced tax rule I didn't realize until it was too late is the 30-day window. Last year, I learned that realized losses at the end of the year could save you taxes, which is true, though realized losses only save you money if they qualify by existing outside of the 30-day window. Zacks.com 30-day rule of buying and selling stocks, an article written by Tim Plaine and published on March 6, 2019, advises, quote, "When a stock investor sells a losing security in order to claim a capital loss and then turns around and purchases the same security or substantially identical security, he made a wash sale. The namesake wash sale rule, also known as the 30-day rule, prohibits investors from making these kinds of transactions until 30 days after the sale. As a penalty for initiating a wash sale, they forfeit the ability to claim a capital loss deduction on their income tax returns," end quote. Which means I must be patient. I can still benefit from a loss if I don't repurchase the same shares for fear of missing out within 30 days. My last standardization for the year is not giving advice. This is my journey, and hopefully my experiences could help somebody. But none of this is advice. In fact, I demand you do your own research and remain doubtful of anything I say because I'm not licensed, I'm not an expert, and this is not advice. I probably have an interest in stocks I mentioned, but they're not a recommendation for you to buy or sell. This isn't just a disclaimer, but an acknowledgement. Maybe you don't, but I know when I do discuss investing with my friends or a family member, I tend to indicate what I'm invested in and why. Some people take that as advice and invest their hard-earned money in a way that reflects a strategy without knowing my exit point. That sucks, because it's hard to tell someone to get out of something you are no longer in if you don't know if they are still in, or if you've forgotten about that conversation altogether. As a result, I don't give advice. This isn't advice. Investing is a personal journey that is going to involve losses, some temporary and some permanent. I'm just going to make it easier on myself and recommend books or point out historical occurrences, but advice I will not give. It's easy for me to brag about the wins to the world, but honestly, the 2020 market made a lot of winners, so I know my strategy is nothing special. I hope that 2021 brings you some semblance of normalcy and brings your brokerage accounts continued growth. In the meantime, review your wins and losses and review your strategies. You might find something that should be standardized in your trading habits that will make you better and your family more secure. Until then, wear a mask and thank you for listening. Please hit the like on any app that you're listening on. Please leave a review if you can. If you want to support the show, stop losing out on so much potential gains by using other apps and only being able to trade for 9 hours a day. Get Webull and trade for 16 hours a day, 4 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sign up at the link inside of the show description and get 4 free stocks worth up to $3,700. The opinions expressed on the show do not reflect the thoughts of our respective employers, family, or podcast network. We are not licensed by the FTC or SEC. Before acting on information on the website or from the show, you should consider whether it's suitable for your particular circumstance and seek advice from your own financial or investment advisor.